Well, good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on April 6, 2021, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely. Online today, we have Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, our Assistant Clerk of the Board, Denny Rich, our Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Lila Wall, our Deputy Clerk of the Board. Written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I'll ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting while others may require more time. Please indicate you would like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining us by telephone today, dial *9 and I will call on you to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have nothing new. I have a little comment during commission business, but that's all.
Okay. This meeting is being recorded.
Commissioner Olson is on. Commissioner Logan, she's having some technical issues, so I'm just working with her.
Okay. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. First, we have item 2A, Employee of the Month for April, Sue Martin. And we have HUD Allworth here to introduce Sue and talk about Sue. Sue, that mask is great. You got to turn your camera back on so we can see it.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I like your balloons.
Thank you. They're my granddaughters from Halloween, but I thought they were appropriate today. My name is Hud Allworth, and I'm here today to present to you the April 2021 Employee of the Month, Sue Martin, Warehouse Foreman. Sue Martin began her career with the PUD on September 13, 1993 as a flagger. Sue bit into the warehouse as a beginning warehouseman in 1995 and then was promoted to head warehouseman in 98. She served as a head warehouseman until 2007, when in 2007, she was promoted to storekeeper, overseeing our shipping and receiving operation. Sue was storekeeper for 13 years until May 1st, 2020, when she was promoted to warehouse foreman, which is the title she holds today. She serves on various benefit committees, interview panels, and is also the shop steward for the warehouse team. As warehouse manager, I have worked along Sue for 27 years. From her first day in the job, Sue has put her best foot forward. She has a keen eye for detail and takes pride in ownership of the district inventory. Each sub-department Sue has worked in, she has streamlined processes and updated procedures that enable her successors to easily transition into their new role. Sue became warehouse foreman May 1st, 2020, when a lot of folks were working from home or operating as a clean crew. She and her team were on site working to improve the material handling operation. Dealing with minimal resources, Sue and her team, as mom would say, pulled up their socks and continued to maintain the highest level of inventory accountability. Sue has reduced inventory by recommending obsolete materials be surplused or used up prior to new items hitting the shelves. Some of her team of district employees offered her praise as well. Here are just a few examples. Sue has taken over the foreman position like a champ, said nominator Stephanie O'Brien, warehouse material planner. She's always tackling the jobs that need to be done, but not always noticed. And becoming foreman in a pandemic was, while most departments were heading home, the warehouse had to stay operational 5 days a week. From standards, purchasing, and vendors, and the customers we serve, Sue is always on top of her game, said Stephanie. When you need to know something about the warehouse, 99.9%, she's your lady. Sue embodies the spirit of the warehouse team, said Jim Hurling, senior manager. She has great customer service skills and works hard to ensure crews have the material they need to get the job done. She's always willing to help her fellow warehouse teammates when they need a hand. She's an asset to the district. An example of her leadership, Sue's led a team that relabeled the entire warehouse to upgrade our wireless inventory tracking system. And she has been slowly reorganizing material that reduces the time in picking and shipping of our product for our internal customers. Sue is an incredible work ethic and initiative. She's at work every day early, making sure inventory is correct and her crews are scheduled for their daily job assignments. Senior manager Aaron Janesco wrote, "For 21 years I've known Sue, she has always had a Christmas party, and part of her expectations to the guests that show up is to bring canned foods, which she then compiles into a huge donation to the food bank. This is just one example of her character, Sue, and how caring she is for others. I've always admired and appreciated this about Sue, along with many outstanding qualities she has. I've known Sue for 26 years and have witnessed her growth here at the PUD," Kim Jones, lead toolman, wrote. "She's a visionary as well as an inspirational person, both at work and at home. She sees the big picture and where her team is headed or capable of and gets them excited about accomplishing their goals. Nothing ever goes as planned in the warehouse, and Sue has honed the skills of being flexible, being able to stop, reassess the situation, and perhaps go with a new plan of action without missing a step. Sue is responsible and dependable. Teammates know that they can rely on her not only to complete her workload, but her willingness to jump in and help with others when needed. She's a great listener and a very supportive of others. This quality has gotten her team through tough times, recently the COVID-19 pandemic. Sue is, hang on 1 minute, please. Sue interacts well with other people and then is an invaluable quality when dealing with all the different departments and their needs. She has been meaningful relationships with other departments and as well those around her. I know that I can always count on her to come through for me. Congratulations, Sue, well deserved. In her time away from work, Sue has managed to keep her plate very full. She enjoys jet skiing and Chelan trips to Vegas and Hawaii with her daughter and spending time with a great group of friends and family. She always enjoys remodeling and painting. She loves the Seattle Seahawks and even traveled to watch them in London. Sue has always had a passion for recycling. In her own words, "Don't let me catch you throwing that water bottle in the trash can." Even after 27 years of service, Sue still wakes up every day and enjoys coming to work. "I feel really blessed to work with such a great group of supportive people," said Sue. "We're a big family and I love it. I'm honored to introduce to you Sue Martin, Employee of the Month, April 2021. Thank you.
Let's give her a round of applause.
What I love most is she can't stop smiling.
I know. Well, Sue, thank you so much for all you do. Reading what was written about you, it just sounds like you're an amazing, amazing team player. I'm curious, what is it like to be in the warehouse during a pandemic?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It ended up being really good, the way everything was organized as far as our splitting shifts and all that kind of stuff. It was a challenge a couple times thinking we were going to run out of material and a few things, but it ended up just to be really good and a good experience, seriously, for all of us. I think we got closer, you know, and got to know each other better, and just like all kinds of things were good. Other than these masks, I'll be happy when we do not have to wear them anymore. I will say that.
Yes. Good.
But yeah, thank you. And this is great. So I appreciate it.
Well, well deserved.
Well, Sue, you're a woman after my own heart because of your recycling. I mean, that's just one little piece of all that you have going for you. But I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
It's a super thing to do.
This Commissioner Olson, can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. I'm having some difficulties here. I just wanted to, over the years, I've had a lot of time in the warehouse, and the work that they do and the creativity they have to, you know, go the next mile in terms of improving your processes and practices. And I was looking at your background there. You know, you could eat off your floor. It's so organized. It's just, you know, you walk into a normal warehouse and it's a mess, stuff falling off the shelves. And I would tell my fellow commissioners, if you haven't had an opportunity to tour that warehouse, you should. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive. And I do congratulate you. And I know that it's a great staff there.
Thank you.
Is it true that you labeled everything? I mean, you got everything reorganized and labeled?
Yeah, we did. Took a few
months. Can you give me lessons on how to do that?
Sure. Come on in and we'll get you started. There's a few more we could use labeled too if you want to start working on it.
Oh, okay. A little volunteer work, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You deserve this award.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And if you were here in person, we'd get our picture taken. Not that necessarily is a great thing, but we'd have a trophy for you. And I hope you're getting those things anyway.
I am.
Can't be here today. And,
yeah. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's give Sue another round of applause.
Yeah, absolutely well deserved, Sue. And very, very proud of you.
Thank you, John.
Thanks. All right, next up is item 3, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda? Please state your first and last name for the record. And I'm looking, I'm not seeing any so far. Allison, are you seeing any?
I see one hand raised.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I saw two, okay. Now one.
Okay. So this is the phone number ending in 1110.
Hello, this is James Deal. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Mr. Deal.
Yes. Today is April the 6th, and I'm talking to the PUD Commission. So I wanted to just review the issues and point out to you that you can go to jamesrobertdeal.org/smartmeters for many different articles about this. Also, litigation is pending. You can go to ehtrust.org. And the issue is that the safe limit of radiation hasn't been updated for 25 years. And so here we are, we're adding a new source of neighborhood radiation constantly going on 24 hours a day, without adding up how much this adds to the total. We've already got towers that continue to proliferate. We're going to have 50,000 5G satellites, and nobody is counting the total. Now, also, your plan to have smart meters is completely illegal, because the National Electrical Code has been adopted in full by the RCW. And it says that conductors must be grounded, and a meter is a conductor. So there will be litigation, and you will lose. So why go down that road? Why not go down the road of having people voluntarily report their usage, and if they don't report it, charge them $19 and have a meter reader go out and read it, and then spend the $90 million doing fiber electric throughout the county. And Commissioner Olson commented that she was against anything that would raise the rates. Well, this is going to have to raise the rates because these meters run constantly. They break down after 5 years. They're more expensive. And then there's the factor that you can't get insurance because Lloyd's of London will not co-insure anything dealing with microwave radiation. So you're exposing us all to a risk and giving us no way to be protected. So, and then there's the lack of openness. You had hearings and you had an expert come in who was in favor of smart meters, and then you had the staff, all of whom somehow got convinced that smart meters were a great thing, but no expert witnesses who want to point out that they're not a great thing. And then you have this fake opt-out idea that is sort of is a way of misleading people that they can somehow be protected. Well, they have to pay more if they're going to be if they're going to opt out. And then only 1 to 4 family residents can opt out. And if you're a renter, you still can't opt out unless your landlord is willing to go along with it. And if I convert my single family rental house into a 15-unit apartment, which I have preliminary approval for that, I'm going to have to force all those people to endure smart meters. So there you go. All the schools must be irradiated with smart meters, all commercial properties, all churches, all apartment buildings, and the rates will go up. Enormous waste of money, violation of the National Electrical Code. And we just had the water folks come by and they put in a new water meter that is electronic. So the truck is going to drive by, and so it'll report once a month on what our water usage is. Why does the PUD need to know minute by minute what's going on in my house? The electrical signature of every different appliance in my house is different. And so there's going to be a lack of security here. And the police are going to be subpoenaing records from the PUD to find out what James Deal was doing at a certain hour of the day. So maybe we could pin some crime on him. And then they wear out after 5 years and you have to spend more money because they cost more than
Mr.
the
Mr. Deal, let me interrupt you. John, past the 5 minutes, I'll give you another 30 seconds to wrap it up, please.
Yes. So it's a surveillance device. It can be hacked. Everything about it is bad. It amazes me that otherwise rational people can fall for such a scam. It's like this, the city of Everett falling for this fluoridation scam that rots the pipes and poisons people, and 3 trillion atoms of lead in every liter of drinking water. Why do people believe such utter scams? This is James Robert Deal. Go to jamesrobertdeal.org, smart-meters, to read all about it. And thank you so much for all the other good things that you do for us.
Thank you, Mr. Deal. Okay, next up we have Gayla Shoemaker. Good afternoon, Gayla.
Good afternoon, Sid. Hello. And good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Gayla Shoemaker and I'm from Edmonds. Well, first of all, I must say I agree with some of the things that Mr. Deal said. As you all know before from my comments that I have serious concerns about the money that it's going to take to put the AMI in, and also concerned about the amount of time that they actually exist before they have to be replaced. So that part I really agree with. However, I was calling to congratulate you and compliment you on your discussion today. I thought it was cordial and respectful, more so than usual. And I wanted to say that I appreciated that you were keeping your customers in mind, especially. So I did appreciate that when you were talking about the opt-out, those people who want to opt out, and keeping them in mind as well as those people who want to use the AMI. One thing I did want to say, however, John, this is for John, you said that the PUD owns the meters, but who paid for those meters, John? We as customers paid for them. So surely we still have a little bit of ownership in there as well as the PUD as an organization. So just wanted to say that little piece. Thank you very much and good afternoon.
Thank you, Gayla. Okay, I'm not seeing any more hands up. Allison, are you?
I see no other ones.
Okay. So next is item 4, our consent agenda. A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of March 23rd, 2021, and the special meeting of March 29, 2021. B is bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. C is consideration of certification / ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. D is consideration of a resolution approving amendment number 2 to the collective bargaining agreement between Public Utility District number 1 of Snohomish County and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, local number 77, for the period of April 1st, 2020 through March 31st, 2024, and authorizing the preparation and implementation of a policy and other appropriate documentation to provide the same benefits to non-represented employees as provided in CBA amendment number 2. Next is item 4E, consideration of a resolution approving amendment number 3 of the collective bargaining agreement between Public Utility District number 1 of Snohomish County and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, local number 77, for the period of April 1st, 2020 through March 2024. I will call for a motion.
Commissioner Logan, can you just confirm it's through March 31st, 2024, not
Sorry,
March 20th?
March 31st, 2024.
Thank you.
I'll call for a motion.
I move approval, but I have a question.
Okay, well, first let me take questions from the public.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hand raised. Allison, are you seeing any?
I do not.
Okay. Now, are there any questions or comments from the commissioners? I'd like you have one, Commissioner Wolf.
Okay. On the list of vouchers, I was just curious about 2 of them to the Northwest Veterinary Clinic. And is that for electrical business or is that for animal business or what? Do we have a mascot or something?
Commissioner Wolf, this is Scott Jones, the district CFO. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. I did see the couple questions that you had sent in. On the veterinary clinic, it's a fairly straightforward one, actually, and this does happen quite a bit. A lot of times when customers disconnect and move out or shut down their business, there'll be a little bit of a lag between when they're gone and when a new customer comes in and sets up and notifies us. Sure. And so it's not uncommon for us to send a business a bill. And as they're shutting down their business, they'll sort of automatically pay the bill. And then later we'll realize, oh, well, there's a different customer that needed to be billed for that period. We'll have some true ups. And in this case, those are refunds that we sent back to them for consumption that they paid that they didn't need to pay because they were already moved out of the location.
Okay. So they moved out. Okay. Thank you.
Right. And it's not an uncommon situation for companies because as they're winding down, a lot of times they may pay a bill that needs to be adjusted later.
Right. Any other questions or comments on the consent agenda?
I have no more.
Okay, I have none. Hearing none from you, Commissioner Olson, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 5, our CEO General Manager report. Do you have a report for us today, John?
I do have some things I'd like to share. Actually, quite a few things and pretty exciting things. So first, out of our power rates and transmission group, our security and HR groups have been working to secure vaccines for our PUD employees. In the last 10 days, PUD employees have had exclusive access to nearly 1,000 vaccine doses. Many took advantage of those opportunities, and it appears that over 50% of the district has been vaccinated, with many still scheduled for this next week. Out of our facilities group, after many delays and patience due to COVID, inspections, and other unforeseen conditions. Our facilities, this project shared that they have received the modular data center on the Arlington site. It was received on Tuesday, March 30th, and set in place on the base isolation platform by a crane on Thursday, April 1st. Modules were joined together, dried in, expansion joint placed, and weatherproofed. Over the next several months, staff will be connecting power, testing and commissioning the systems, getting ready for IT to place equipment in the racks for a functioning modular data center. And that's exciting. Our HR group, two CBAs ago, the district and the IBW formed two separate committees to look at all forms of employee benefits. One committee, now called the Benefits Advisory Committee, is meeting regularly. And the second committee, the Leaves Advisory Committee, is regrouping soon to look at the Washington paid family leave, paid and unpaid leave, and other forms of employee time off, absenteeism, et cetera. Both committees include represented and non-represented employees and use the expertise of external consultants and our legal resources to advise them. The commission will be updated from time to time on both the benefits and the Leaves Advisory Committee's progress and ideas. The benefits team is moving forward with the implementation of a new high deductible health plan and health savings account to be effective July 1st, 2021. The new enrollees and a mid-year open enrollment will take place from May 3rd to May 14th. Also, the benefit team is partnering with Wellsprings EAP on the district's employee assistance program to roll out informational sessions to all employees, including when I do the third Thursday in April for our all hands meeting and in our all manager meeting. The sessions will include information about coping with stress, burnout, mental health, especially during during COVID. And also out of HR, the Leaves team is working to transition its internal administration of the workers' compensation program to a third-party administrator. I believe I had provided this update over the last couple of reports or couple months. Managers and safety chairs will be briefed at the April 7th manager safety meeting to communicate to departments during April safety meetings. And this was actually a collaborative effort, and I'm really excited to share this, the information. So our ITS and customer systems, along with our customer experience team, partnered to work through some customer self-serve IVR improvements. Customers making payments through the IVR will only be required to enter their account number once, which will reduce the time by up to 4.5 minutes per call. They streamlined the number of messages and prompts a customer has to navigate through to serve their requests, which resulted on an average of 2.5 minute reduction per call. The improvements will also increase authentication processes, thereby eliminating approximately 500 to 1,000 calls per month into the call center, which equates to about $500 to $10,000 monthly savings. And overall, the great work by our CX team, our customer experience team, ITS, and customer systems has identified customer pain points and taken steps to not only correct, but significantly improve our customer experience when making payments via the telephone. An update on our soft collections through the doorknob notifications. We've put about 14,000 doorknobs, hangers, or doorknob notifications for customers who have not paid in 90 days, and the direct associated payments is almost at the $4 million mark. So we are starting to see some uptick in getting customers caught up. Some data on our residential EV charger. So our goal was 750 chargers in 2021. We already have 271 of them submitted. That was just through February. We'll have the March numbers by the end of April. So we're already through March at 36% of our goal. We have 22% of those participants are replacing an existing charger, which is good because that means we're getting customers to embrace the new technology. 4% of our visitors to our marketplace site make a purchase. So an average for e-commerce is only 2%. So the increased rate indicates successful products, our bundling, and the communication and marketing plans. 80% of the chargers are being installed by the homeowner. On the EV charging credit, through the week ending this past week, we've had 15 applicants approved and processed. And lastly, out of our finance group, we are finalizing our strategy for our 2021 bond financing. We had a placeholder, if you recall, of $60 million for 21, 22, and 23 in our forecast to give ourselves some flexibility. But since rates are still favorable, we're planning to do a larger financing this year, likely in the $80 to $100 million range, to take advantage of the rates and then evaluate something smaller in 22 and 23. We've talked to our financial advisors, our attorneys, and banks, and are ready to start working towards a summer placement. But the finance team will be coming back at the commission, the May 4th commission meeting, to give a more formal update on that bond financing. And that's it, unless there's any questions or comments.
Questions or comments on John's report, commissioners?
I have none.
I have none either. Thank you, that was great.
Great report. Great to hear that we're making improvements in our phone customer service experience, because we all know those can be frustrating. Ours hasn't been bad, but making improvements is going to be much appreciated by our public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is. You know, you think 4.5 minutes doesn't sound like much, or 2.5 minutes, but you know, if you've ever sat on the phone, I'm sure like we all have, man, that is like eternity, right? So that's really some big improvements, and a huge kudos to the groups for making that happen.
Right. Good.
Absolutely.
All right. Next is item 6, commission business. 6A is commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
So I have none.
I have something for public information, just to let the public know what we do in a month. And you all know this if you're involved in the PUD, but I made kind of a list, and this is a typical month. March 1, APPA workshop. March 2, APPA update on the legislative session. March 3, Public Power Council, the members forum, where we learn a lot about what's going on in the whole region. March 4th, another PPC meeting, an executive meeting. On Friday, March 5th, we had a PNUC meeting, Pacific Northwest Utility Council. On March 9th, we had a board meeting. March 11th, we had a SNOPUD power supply presentation in the morning. That was on the 11th. Again, also on the 11th, I had an NWPPA meeting in the afternoon, we had a meeting. And then on the 12th, the Resolutions Committee for NWPPA met, and I was involved in that. Board meeting, AM and PM, and a special meeting at the end of the day on March 23rd, March 29th, PUD workshop on strategy planning in the morning, and up to noon. On the 31st, we had another PPC meeting. And then on April 1 and 2, we had PPC and PNUC. So, you know, it's more than just two meetings a month. And I just wanted to share that with the public. And so I don't know if anybody wants to respond, but I just had one other thing I wanted to mention. Anybody want to respond to that little report? I will not do that every month, I promise.
No, but this Commissioner Olson, Commissioner Wolf, and I do thank you for that. You know, sometimes we get involved in all these things and we don't really think about it in the broader context. So thank you for that report.
Yeah, as I say, I won't do it every month. And then as we've discussed on a few other occasions, we've talked about, well, we want to have a workshop for the board as soon as we can. And so I just kind of want to revisit that and say that since we were all interviewed by Sherelle Gordon, I had a really good rapport with her. And I thought, well, maybe when the time comes, maybe she would be somebody who would be really good to work with our board. So that, I just wanted to put that out there to start thinking about it, and as soon as possible, try to get it on our calendar to have a board workshop or retreat and work on some things that we know we need to work on as a board.
Okay, thank you. You know, all I have to add is a couple of things, commissioners, that you might enjoy when you have time. I listen to these when I'm driving, but there's a couple of podcasts that I think you might find interesting. Mm-hmm. One is APPA has a good podcast.
Oh.
So they recently interviewed a FERC commissioner, interviewed Deborah, last name escapes me, from Seattle Light recently. Smith. And then there's another one that's a little quirky called Public Power Underground. It's done by employees of a public utility in Oregon, and it's Northwest centered. And so it has some interesting guests too. Not stimulating conversation, but it is interesting. Yeah. Next, we have 6B, our commissioner event calendar. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Wolf gave us a sampling of some of those things that are on our calendar. Is there any additions or changes to be made to the calendar?
Well, just repeating that I hope that in the not too distant future, we can get our board retreat scheduled and hopefully develop a plan to have somebody who's a real professional work with us on, you know, some of the things that we know we need to work on. And I think Sherelle might be a good candidate for that. So that's maybe something that our clerks could talk about, or Melissa and John in particular.
Well, I think we've talked before that we can't yet meet in person, and I'll put Melissa on the spot. Melissa, have we heard anything more from the governor's office or Kim about?
We have not.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Nothing updated yet.
Okay. So next is the governance planning calendar, item 7. Are there any changes made to the governor's planning calendar? Pulling it up. You know, the only thing I'll say is that community choice aggregation, I think, is going on its third year, maybe fourth, of being on our to-be scheduled list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, there were a couple of other things and to be scheduled. Oh, where is that list? Oh, I'm hoping that we can get on the calendar a date for, well, again, it would have to probably be after we can meet in person to work on our environmental policy and also our community board linkage. Those two things. I don't know where I had made a note somewhere, but now I can't find it in my iPad. But anyway, those two things, the board linkage workshop as it affects policy, and also the environmental policy workshop.
Yep, those that aren't on our to be scheduled list. Thank you.
Right.
Anything else? Go ahead, John.
Well, I would just comment on the board linkage. And Melissa, you can jump in here as well. By sometime end of this quarter, so by end mm-hmm. of June, I think we should be able to bring something back to the board for discussion.
Okay, good. Yeah. May I ask a follow-up on that, John? You want to bring something to us for discussion, but what about our input? Are we going to be able to contribute and make suggestions about that as to how, you know, some things that we might want to do to improve our linkage with the public?
Yes, that really will be the that's what the discussion will be about, getting your input on thoughts and ideas that we have on how we can better improve that the commission customer linkage and communication process.
Yeah. Okay. Because really, for the PUD as an organization, we already have fantastic linkage through all of our publications and all of the video and everything that we do, you know, through the communications department, which I think you're calling CorpCom now. So this is different. That's kind of what I wanted to point out, that the linkage of the board with the public is different from the PUD's CorpCom work. There might be connections. There probably will be connections about, you know, how we communicate. Maybe there'll be something that we can do that's written or published that would be from the board and would have some duties for the CorpCom team. So anyway, I'm just, you know, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm excited for the team to bring that forward and share what we have framed out and get your input.
Now, who would be working on that, John? I mean, who would be working on that?
Melissa, Julie, Kim Johnston, okay.
Pam.
Number of folks.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Melissa?
Pam Bailey is also part of that.
Okay. What is the name of the woman who does a lot of the kind of training or education kinds of things? She's quite a longtime employee and does great. We're tall, nice looking blonde lady. Oh gosh, what is her
Lisa
name?
Honeywell?
Anyway, pardon?
Lisa pardon? Honeywell?
Yes, Lisa. Maybe Lisa might be a part of that.
Yeah, we've got lots of people involved in it.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Commissioner, this is what the three of us agreed on a few months ago, is that they would come back to us with something. So, all right. Is there any other further business to come before the board today?
I have none.
Okay, hearing none, it is 2:12 p.m. and our meeting is now adjourned. Stay healthy, everyone. Enjoy the sunshine.